Waging War on Corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, so Israel continued bombing Iran and Lebanon. Also, no one's saying who's doing it, but Iran says it's the United Arab Emirates sending in Mirage French fighters blowing up their oil fields. So there are a bunch of forces don't want this to stop. Meanwhile, Iran closed the strait again, which they've been in control of. Trump tried to say in the last month it wasn't closed. Caroline Levitt says the Iranian reports the Strait of Hormuz is closed are false, but you can pull up the live active transponder sites, pull up the latest, and it's closed. Two ships went through this morning, now it's closed again. The Iranians said they closed it. And then we have this original report that Vance brokered. Trump agreed. Now Trump says, I'm not agreeing to that. Now there's a new plan. So no peace deal was made that stuck. This is totally falling apart. When oil hit $150 a barrel, which will totally kill our recovery and more, Trump panicked. Vance, as I told you this morning, people are like, we don't see he's leading it. He officially led this deal. He's now leading the current operation. So I got that from people with Vance at the meeting in Hungary. Okay, last night. I got it before anybody else had it in the news. So I'd love to see this shut down. I wish it never happened. But this at the higher level, 100,000 foot level, is about the Great Reset. It's about derailing the global economy. It's what BlackRock wants. It's COVID 2.0. I'm the first to say that. Many other economists are now saying that. Kazrin, and Fitch, you name it. Joining us for the balance of the hour, maybe even longer, into the fourth, we can hit some other topics as well, maybe take some calls if he does that. Owen Benjamin, known him a long time, used to be in movies, a bunch of other stuff, got sick of it, moved up to North Idaho, he's a popular comedian, podcaster, and he's got a new book out that I can't wait to read as soon as I get some time, and we'll show you that right now. It's How to Slay a Wizard, not just How to Slay a Dragon, and he's not talking about a literal Gandalf, he means the globalist manipulators, and so it's available for free on Amazon. Well, that's nice. And ladle.tv, owenbenjamin.com, ladle, L-A-D-L-E.tv, and at Owen Benjamin on X. So, a lot to talk about. Obviously, we should get your take up front on the Iran crisis, Trump, what he's turned into. I mean, he wasn't burnt before, but man, he's really, in the last 8 months, like a fruit rotting on your table. There's worms all over it now. Then you want to get into NASA and the moon mission, Artemis II, nuclear bombs, what makes science special, how it relates to Christianity versus the Phariseeism. What is a wizard, tools a wizard, hypnotic language, weaponized tension, three-stage response, the one lie, psychological prediction, wizard spells in plain sight, what is 4D chess, words and other definitions, people's names, and the Wizard of Oz, and why Owen's book, How to Slay a Wizard, is number one in rhetoric. So look forward to that. Owen, great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. And I think my take on all this right now is it's the best time to talk about wizard spells and word magic, because when you were just talking about Trump kind of, you know, falling apart, that's the inevitable outcome of wizardry. Is it the lies overtake people and then they become complete inversions of themselves, where it's actually structured like a joke, which is why my comedic background is kind of interesting for predicting and talking about world events.
Great cover, and I've heard you talk about wizards. You do a great job. I can't wait to read it. So, Trump, what happened to him, or what do you think is going on? I mean, it's insane. Like, I will vaporize you. I will kill your civilization. You'll never come back. The definition of genocide. And he wonders why people turn against him. What are we supposed to sign on to? We'll kill everyone. We'll kill you all. We're liberating you. Do what I say or I'll use nukes on you, basically.
Yeah, what I find so strange is the normalization of this wizardry as far as, like, the art of the deal. Like, I'll point out how insane he sounds. And people will say, oh, it's just a negotiating tactic. He's just moving the anchor price, the Overton window, and all that stuff. And it's... that comfort with wizardry leads America down the road of low trust, where liars won't work anymore. It becomes actually, like, very tedious. They become very hated. And my father was a professor of rhetoric, and I studied tyrannical government takeovers in the Czech Republic. Like, that was my major in college. Like, I've been very interested in this stuff my whole life. And my dad taught, he did a keynote speech once in Hiroshima. And we can talk about nuclear bombs. I think that's a great topic to get right into. And I was taught that nuclear bombs have this fallout radiation for billions and billions of years and thousands of years, and it'll poison the lakes and the streams, and it ruins the world. And I remember being terrified that my dad was going to go give a keynote speech in Hiroshima about rhetoric. And everyone was like, no, it's fine now. It's fine. There's no problem. And I'm like, but isn't, what about the nuclear bomb? And that kind of led me down the road of, how spells control countries and people's minds, and this constant threat of terror of like someone can hit a button and the world ends. It just becomes extremely manipulative. And people actually get really mad at you when you break the spell because their identity gets so tied in with the fear.
You're talking about boomers in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Duck and cover, get under your desk, showing everybody getting nuked, creating really big fear of nuclear war. Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah, it's trauma rituals. Like, I remember we'd have these little cardboard desks because my town had 3 nuclear power plants. Nuclear energy is totally real. Like, of course, that's real. It's just boiling water, and it turns giant turbines. And they would always say that the Russians were always about to nuke us, and we do these duck and cover drills under our cardboard desks. And I'd be like, if it vaporizes all the flesh in the world, then what's the point? And that cognitive dissonance is the wizardry, where it's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to exhaust you to the point where you'll just do anything someone says. And that's why a lot of these things are supposed to be confusing. Like when Trump says the war is just getting started and it's over, like in the same sentence. And people have a hard time understanding what the point of that is.
And he also says we've had regime change over and over again. Yeah, you killed people, but the regime's still there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's these contradictory things. And then, you know, they'll do the Iron Man script about the fallen pilot that's in the cave and emerges on Easter and all this stuff. And you're like, yeah, I think you took that from Iron Man, dude. You know, and people are like, so you think it's made up? I'm like, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the truth is, but
well, there's no doubt that raid was an attempt to grab a bunch of uranium hidden in an airbase and it failed. So they made it all about a pilot that got shot down in association with it. So you kill one story with another.
Yeah, and uranium is extremely threatening to the global order, and it's very valuable because it threatens, you know, the oil, petrodollar, and all that, because it's phenomenal. Nuclear power just boils water and turns turbines. But, like, take, for example, Japan, Hiroshima, and Nagasaki. You know, I saw the wizard, you know, I heard you talking about Mark Levin. Is that his name? Such a wizard.
Yes.
And he's, like, trying to get Trump, you know, it's, like, right out of, you know, Narnia. It's like those witches that are like, strike them down, you know? And if you actually look at Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki weren't in the top 10 most destroyed cities. You know, America was firebombing everything. Tokyo was far more destroyed. And I believe they quit the war because 1.5 million Russians invaded Manchuria 48 hours after the quote-unquote nuclear bomb. And there was only one journalist allowed to report on it in America. He was a Lithuanian Jewish gentleman, and anybody else was, it was considered treason. And so there wasn't actually a higher rate of cancer. You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think that the nuclear bomb spell, as far as like, just wait till your father comes home, he'll nuke the world. Yeah, I posted that. That's hilarious. Like Hiroshima versus Detroit. You know, if they want to switch N-bombs, I'm down. Because our N-bombs destroy cities a little more than Hiroshima.
Well, we know deindustrialization as well and liberal policies have put people on welfare.
Well, I was just being fine. I'm not claiming it's just a certain race of people.
I was just responding. But let's talk about nuclear weapons. And guys, you can pull up graphs showing the power of Fat Man, Little Boy. Just pull up graphs showing the power of Fat Man, Little Boy versus modern hydrogen bombs. If you look at, and I've seen the graphs, so overhead shot, I'll just give you, since they can't pull up a graph, I'll be able to do it in a minute myself. Just overhead shot piece of paper, I'll show people this way. It's fine. Just overhead shot right here. So here's the power of, you know, Fat Man and Little Boy. And then
such weird name too, huh?
Yeah. And then the circle of a modern hydrogen bomb, you know, depending on the size, would be a circle all around this entire building. That's how much more powerful. Now, these were also built to be clean atomic bombs in the fission process. And most of the ones we have are clean now. They have a thing called a dirty bomb or a doomsday bomb where you jacket it in something like cobalt. And then it is extremely radioactive. That's why Hiroshima or Nagasaki is nothing compared to a Chernobyl or a Fukushima, because that's a meltdown in a reactor. And, you know, I knew a guy that was a submarine captain that ran the government submarine rescue boats. And they just had a small leak, and it killed, and a few years later, killed a lot of people that were around it with horrible cancers. But, yeah, here's a graph. Give me an idea. So, yeah, they definitely use the fear of this to get us in line. But here's the deal. You know why in the studies, even with above ground, that there's not a ton of radiation even a few days later, there's some fallout. When you detonate an atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb in an airburst, when the chain reaction's happening, you know, that's the big white ball you see, and then the blast goes down and destroys the ground. That's just a fire blast, and then it rises up into a mushroom cloud. That is because there's no metal that it combines with. But if you drop a hydrogen or atomic bomb on the ground, every type of metal it combines with, not just cobalt, but a bunch of others, creates, I mean, just a few pounds of cobalt in a hydrogen bomb going off is like dozens of Fukushima. So I think that's where the confusion here happens. Nuclear weapons are very clean compared to nuclear reactors. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but how do you know that? Like everything you just said, where'd you get that information from that cobalt, you know, mixes with all this stuff and gets filthy and magnifies into the mega blast and all that stuff?
Well, they know the isotopes. That's how they can tell where something was made, what it was done, what's melting down. That's how they know when a reactor in France is having problems. Private scientists can show it. They know what the fuel is. They know what's going on. Max Planck, by about 1895, wrote the equations for atomic bombs. And then later quantum mechanics and physicists picked it up and got popularized as the inventors of it, but that was taken and made, you know, from theoretical to action with the Manhattan Project. But these equations is how we have all the other science, and really, the atomic systems are tinker toys compared to all the fission fusion and superconducting super colliders and the particle research that has been done. People can argue with the theoretical mathematics of it, but it's been expanded out and duplicated in much of the sciences we see today.
See, this is the thing. You're touching on what I consider wizardry, because science, the miracle of science is that you can independently verify things for yourself. It's very similar to what Jesus's message was to the Pharisee, where, you know, you don't need a special boy hat and bloodline to connect or commune with God. It's where two or three gather in my name. Science is like that, where you make empirical observations, you get a hypothesis, you set up a controlled experiment, you theorize, and then you encourage your friends and people you respect to rip it apart to see if it works, and over time it may or may not become a law. The whole trust me, bro, science, where it's like, trust the science, Max Planck, he scribbled, you know, nonsense on a chalkboard. I was raised by academics. You know, my father went to Oxford. I've been around these people my whole life, and it's about manipulation. And you can see it with, you know, trust the science of transgenderism, trust the science of global warming and global cooling.
There's no doubt there's a bunch of lies and it's gotten worse. But I mean, how do you think we shoot a cruise missile down a chimney? How do you think your cell phone works? How do you think, I mean, go back to school. Remember, you could get a chemistry set and put two things together and it explodes. You can go buy that thing yourself and you can do that. I mean, so.
Exactly. That's my whole point. So the what you described as this nuclear fission reaction that creates this like massive flesh destroying. And don't get me wrong, there's weapons that are freaking horrifying. I'm not saying that there's nothing to not worry about. I mean, chemical gas, mustard gas, people puke their lungs up and they melt.
Sure, I mean, are you saying that these above ground tests that ended like in the 70s and stuff? Because I had family that was involved in that and went out and did it. I mean, I had family that ran Nike missile batteries in Turkey, okay? And people that were at test who were there. And people go, oh, yeah. It was 100,000 pounds of TNT. No, I had family that was there, you know, basically not wiring the bombs, but they were there. It wasn't TNT.
No, I think nuclear bombs do exist in a different sense. Like, I think that they can penetrate very deep into the ground. What makes nuclear bombs uniquely terrifying is quote-unquote fallout radiation that poisons life for millions of years. When we were told when we were kids that there was going to be a nuclear winter where nothing grows forever, and that's when you see the wizardry. Now,
and that's made to make you give up on life, not have children, yeah, be fatalistic.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just like and global warming and the world's going to end. And
exactly. And that's why I'm not saying everything's just TNT. I think some of these bunker busters might be a form of nuclear bomb. So right when I just said that, someone would say, oh, so you just admitted they're real. No, the thing I'm
no, rockets are real, but then the space program's mainly fake.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, the space program.
It's like
program,
guys that think they're women and take hormones are real, but they're not really a woman. It's like there's some basis in the lie.
Right, like there's phenomenal rockets and there's phenomenal, like, supersonic missiles that can just absolutely destroy stuff. But that was never that wasn't why we hid under desks. It wasn't because of rubble. And, you know, in studying World
War II, definitely
use
it for mind control, and that's declassified.
Exactly. And so, you know, the trauma rituals of being under your desk, because what they figured out is when you survive bombings, you actually get stronger. You know, they figured this out with the Blitz in London, where when the Germans would drop a bunch of bombs, the most psychologically traumatized people would be over the hill from it, where they could kind of invent these stories in their head. If you actually survive war, many times they would lose the fear of death and they would become actually very hard to conquer. And so this has been this is kind of like how you get someone docile to the point of giving up before there's
even
a fight.
No, that's right. You're creating victims. Well, I mean, what do they think killing the mullahs and bombing the Iranians are going to do? They're more pro-mullah than ever.
Exactly. They're like creating what they claim they were stopping. Like when someone kills your pope, when someone kills your family, it's like it doesn't stop you. It makes you almost fearless. And that's why, and I don't mind if we do this to enemies. I actually don't mind that a CIA exists to mess with the minds of our enemies so that we don't have to have a kinetic war. But I don't like that they do it to us. And I'm going to write books showing people, because every wizard requires deception and concealment. As soon as you understand how it works, it doesn't work.
Let's start here. Let's define a wizard.
Yeah, a wizard, by the definition, is they require concealment and they thrive on keeping the audience from seeing what they're doing versus, you know, somebody that's just doing rhetoric. Like, rhetoric is just the emotional component of a message, you know, but wizardry.
A wizard creates a whole fake world of lies upon lies. And COVID was the ultimate example of that. Premeditated, run by Pentagon, Psywire, that's all declassified, total control to hurt people and just turn us into victims.
Absolutely. And they borrow power with credibility, with charged words. Like, they'll take a word and they'll charge it, kind of like science. Like, science is an amazing miracle, you know? And then they'll start using that word to do their nonsense. They'll be like, well, it's just the science that COVID, that you have to have your mask on while you're walking into a restaurant, and then you get to take it off to eat unless you're gay, and then you get to go on a
parade. Or if Black Lives Matter, you can march, and it's good for COVID. Anybody else going outside gets arrested. So Fauci would kind of be the ultimate little wizard. Even looks like a little evil leprechaun.
Bro, the funniest wizardry out of Fauci is AIDS, because, like, people always forget that Fauci was the AIDS guy. And if you look at the mascots of AIDS, dude, this is when it just becomes comedy. It's like, you have Magic Johnson, which literally means like wizard penis, like a magical Johnson, and Greg Louganis. And people forget that. And so while they were rolling out AIDS, people also forget, and I have this on Ladle, I documented all of it. There was a diet pill called AIDS it was AYDS, that they would play simultaneously as they're scaring the world about AIDS. They're like, look at Magical Johnson. And then they'd be like, the next commercial would be like, hey, Deborah, you look really thin. And she's like, it's AIDS. And so I named that polarity seeding, where you get these two hyper contradicting things in the zeitgeist at the same time, because the whole point is to get your mind to kind of start spinning the wheel like on a computer, so you buffer. And then, like, the whole goal is to detach the living man from his own senses and his own soul, and then seek authority in whoever is messing with your head. And that, because a wizard has no power without the living man choosing to give them power.
Well, how is the reign of the wizards going?
Not well. because that's how debt always ends. It's like, it always ends the same way. When you do abracadabra, when you start just creating things with people's emotional reactions, you manipulate trust. Because what made America great is the high trust, high charity, high logos, high logic, where people, you know, trust each other enough where they can help each other when you're down and you work through problems. And I know usually when I come on the show, I talk about farming and it almost seems idealistic and I'm this optimistic guy. It's actually very dark. I mean, it's like what I see possibly coming is absolutely horrifying. I just try not to jack people's cortisol. Wizardry leads to absolute famine. And that's what I studied in Eastern Europe in college, where lies get to a point when you're not bringing in the fertilizer. Lies get to a point where there's so much corruption that there's no food in the stores. And most genocide isn't these bombs or AIDS.
No, it's a breakdown of civilization where there's no trust.
Yeah. And it's atomization. It's people not being friends. That's why I make fun of people. That's why, because when you have that ability to hear something that goes against your identity, because I piss off a lot of people, because their identity gets tied to a wizard spell. And it's not even that I'm going at them. I'm going at the spell.
When you say spell, it's a false political, social, cultural idea that they're committed to.
Yeah, like take the moon landing. And I'm not even going to say it definitely didn't happen. But if I...
No, obviously what we were shown is fake.
Yeah, and if I just say the government, which I do not trust already, is saying they lost the footage and all, like they lost it. Oops.
And destroyed the Saturn rocket that cost like $50 million.
Yeah, and they no longer have the tech to go back. I have a right to not trust them anymore. And so people would say, why would they lie? And it's because one classic spell to get someone docile is, this is the greatest achievement that's ever happened and you'll never do it again. And we'll go back in the future. Just hold tight. And so I'll make fun of the moon landing and call the moon lander like a meth head's tree fort or just something funny. And people act like I'm attacking their grandfather, you know, kind of like a second ago when you were saying, you know, I have relatives that worked on the Manhattan Project. I mean, one of my best friend's grandfather helped build the moon rover and worked with Wernher von Braun, you know, and it's like, I'm not.
Yeah, let's be clear. I didn't say I had people on the Manhattan Project. No, people just missiles and the testing nuclear weapons.
Yeah. And so sometimes I get this, people will say, like, are you calling my grandfather a liar? And I'm like, no. And so that's when identity gets mixed with spells. And I try to free people from that.
Yeah, there's also a bigger problem. So many people don't believe anything now. They think all the courthouses are 5,000 years old and nothing got built here and that, you know, everything is something. And meanwhile, I can go find. Well, I'll tell you about it when I come back.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself if you sat on the fence to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!